Welcome to Big Fat Positive with Shauna and Laura. This week, we have our weekly check-ins. We have our special segment, Internet Insanity, where we talk about creative kids and grandmas with grudges. And we close with our BFPs and BFNs for the week. Let's get started. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the show. This is episode 238. Hi, Shauna.
Hi.
I just want to say that it is raining outside and it's a little loud. So if you guys hear a pitter patter out there, it's not little feet. It is raindrops falling on our heads.
Well, that's good. That's a relaxing background sound, right?
Oh, it is. I actually really love it. I haven't been listening to music. I've just been sitting like listening to the rain.
I love that.
I know. But right now I do want to listen to the soothing sounds of your voice, Shauna, because I want to hear what's been going on with your week.
Literally no one's ever described my voice as soothing, so I'll take that thing.
What are you talking about? Okay, listeners, please write in and reassure Shauna that she has a very soothing, wonderful voice.
Maybe I'll start a meditation podcast.
Yeah, or an ASMR.
Oh, yeah, my new side hobby. Okay, here we go. Here are my check-ins. So this week was all about getting ready for the holidays. Elle already started her winter break, so she was home all week. I still, of course, had to work most of the week. So a lot of her time is just kind of hanging out, watching TV and playing on the iPad. Mm-hmm. But, you know, she's living her best life. She loves it.
Yeah.
But the big event this week, I've mentioned it before on the show, Laura, was Cece's Christmas recital at her preschool.
Oh, the one with the strict dress code.
Yes, where the boys had to wear Christmas bow ties.
Yes, everyone in their Christmas bow ties, they just reached in their drawer and got them.
Yeah, so we got official tickets to the performance. They were very fancy. And we got there early and got a terrible seat. We were way in the back. I could barely see the stage. I was so pissed. But it was so adorable. It was equally adorable and chaotic. I mean, it was packed. There were probably over 200 parents, grandparents, siblings. I mean, tons of babies. Whoa. All in this like ballroom area. And there was a little stage set up and every little class paraded in their matching Christmas attire. It was so cute. The little two-year-olds, I don't think they actually sang a word. They just kind of like stood there staring like deer eyes out at the audience while the music played. Oh my God, it was so cute. So for Cece's outfit, right, she had to wear like a white dress and a red headpiece and all this jazz. So I sourced it from my local Buy Nothing group. I borrowed a dress from someone here. I'll show you a picture of her recital outfit. I just sent you a photo.
Okay, let me see. Oh my goodness, she looks so chic. She's got like this, I mean, I think it could double as like a communion dress on.
That's what it was. It
oh,
was
really?
The neighbor's daughter's communion dress, yes.
Well, I mean, that. Why else would anyone in their right mind own a white dress for a toddler? Like, truly.
I know, right? It's not in our repertoire.
A terrible idea. White. I will barely buy shirts that have like little bits of white on them for Augie.
Right?
And she also has like a faux fur stole kind of over her shoulders.
Oh, yes. Her little shrug, because it was a cold day.
Or shrug. That's the word I'm looking for. Oh, my goodness. And of course, you got the headband. She looks so put together and she looks really sweet. Did she like wearing the dress?
Yeah, she did, actually. I was really nervous because I have very casual kids. Very casual kids. But she was pretty jazzed about wearing that outfit and getting dressed up and everything. So so she looked very fancy on stage with her friends. And, you know, she's in like the 3 and 4 year old class. They're a little bit older. And I could tell they practiced a lot because they were all actually singing along. Mm. Some of them more enthusiastically than others. When Cece's class got on stage, I had a bad seat, right? I was mentioning I had a bad seat. I couldn't really see. I was ruthless. I did not, and shameless. I did not even care. I was like, Elle, come with me. And the two of us went up in the middle of the aisle, like the walkway between the seats, and like crouched down on the floor in front of the stage so I could get video and actually see her face. It was kind of embarrassing, but like, I'm like, I don't care, man. I want to see my kid.
I mean, why else are you there? Like, truly, what? So you can be in the back and not see your own kid when they're performing and you have to sit through a bunch of 2-year-olds staring into the void?
So I got a little bit of footage. I'll send you a little video so you can get the vibe of what was happening.
Oh, yeah. I want the vibe.
All right. Sending it your way.
Okay. Let's see. Oh my God, they're so cute. Cece's, she's on it. She's playing with her bow on her waist a little bit, her little belt, but she is still singing.
Yeah.
Yeah. The little boys in their bow ties are extremely cute, I have to say. Like, I get why they required that. It's adorable.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. And they're singing Jingle Bells. Adorable.
Yeah. So much cuteness. And I was really proud of her. I didn't know how she would be performing in front of everybody, you know, because I just don't know her style yet. Like with Elle, I'm like, oh yeah, Elle like goes all out on stage, right? And I'm like, how is Cece going to be? But yeah, she was definitely participating, singing along, a little nervous, I could tell, because she was like fiddling with her outfit and stuff. But she powered through the nervousness and did really well. And I was so happy.
Awesome. I'm so glad that worked out.
Yeah. And then a couple days later was Christmas Eve. And I just like want to say that last year I had not a lot of Christmas spirit. I remember talking about this on the show. Like I'd had a tough run with like Chili dying and Elle being in the hospital. And I was just drained, right? And I didn't come into Christmas with a lot of joy and enthusiasm. But this year I came in hard with it. And I was like super excited to celebrate. And my mother-in-law was in town and we made cookies and we made these little lanterns that my mother-in-law put together, this craft for us. And we had a wonderful Christmas Eve. Let me just send you a couple pictures of some of our activities.
Okay. I see the whole Jaeger clan hanging out. Oh, is that a lantern or a drink in your hand?
We made little lanterns out of mugs.
I see, like glass mugs. Oh, very cool. Mm-hmm. Very festive. The girls are having fun. It looks like Cece's holding up some kind of gingerbread man shape. Is that a cookie or?
Yeah.
Yeah. Very adorable. Oh, Elle is about to chomp down on a Christmas cookie shaped like a Christmas tree. Well, this looks festive AF, Shauna.
Yeah, it was. So we've been having wonderful holiday vibes all around. And that's pretty much my check-in.
Awesome.
How about you? Have your kids started the holiday break or what are you up to this week?
Yes. So Augie has started his holiday break. His school takes 2.5 weeks off. And Sebastian, actually, his school only takes 2 days off throughout the holiday. I know. I mean, it's amazing.
A parent's dream.
It is. Wow. So the only days they take off would be next week, the day after Christmas, and then the following week, the day after New Year's. So, and it's the day after because this year they're both Sundays, right?
Mm-hmm.
However, he did not make it the whole week this week, Shauna.
No.
Yeah.
Sick again. Ugh.
He got a stomach bug. Ugh. And it's not a good one, Shauna. This poor baby, he's still really sick. Like, I think he's going to be sick through Christmas. Like, he's been kind of up and down, right? Like, so on Wednesday night after dinner, he was like chewing on his finger. Like, I think his back molars might be coming in, right? And so he was chewing on his finger and he kept like sticking his finger in the back of his throat, right? And gagging.
Oh boy, that's fun.
Yeah. And we were like, stop it. But he thought it was funny, right? You know, anytime you say stop it to him, he thinks you're joking. Like, he's such a fucking joker, this baby. Like, all he wants to do is make jokes and like tease you and taunt you. So I was like, no. That's gagging you. You're going to throw up. Stop it. And he was like, what, this? You know, and he was like doing it more.
Oh my God.
And so he ended up throwing up that night. And I was like, well, he gagged himself, right? Like, that's nothing, right? And then he was fine after that, completely fine.
Right.
So we didn't even think that it was anything other than that until the next day, Thursday, we get a text message from his teachers around nap time saying, Sebastian's just thrown up. We're going to keep an eye on him. And then I was like, oh, shit. I'm like, was last night not a fluke? You know, but I didn't want to be like, well, he threw up last night, but we still sent him into school because I don't want them to think I'm a monster.
Naturally.
I want them to think highly of me. So I was just like, oh, weird. Well, keep us posted. And then like 10 minutes later, it's like, okay, he threw up again. So you're going to need to come get him. And I was like, fuck, you know, come on. No. Like, I wasn't planning on having both kids home until next week. And I was just like, oh, okay. So, of course, we felt bad for him. So we went and we got him. And the poor baby, I like immediately nursed him, try to like make him feel better. And then he like puked that up. And he just was not keeping anything down. Anything, yikes. anything. Give him a popsicle that came back up. Like, he was sick. So I felt awful for him. It was just so hard to see. I'm going to send you a picture of the sad baby.
Oh, okay.
He was just like falling asleep everywhere.
Oh, this picture's so sad. He's asleep in your arms and he looks sick. He does. Like,
yeah.
Dark circles under his eyes. Oh, baby.
I know, the poor thing.
You look sad too, I'm not gonna lie.
I was really sad for him. It was just, it's so hard to see your children sick, you know? Like, all you want to do is protect them. And stomach bugs especially are really hard because, like, I don't know, there's a lot of, you can't really give them medicine, you know, because they throw it up. Yes. And like, and it's just really hard to comfort them except for just to like literally hold them. I'm gonna send one more picture that I just found.
Aw, the brothers together. Augie looks happy, but Sebastian looks miserable. Oh, his little pout.
And we were trying to keep Augie away from Sebastian a little bit, you know, to hopefully have him not get the stomach bug.
Yeah.
But it's impossible with a almost 2-year-old and an almost 4-year-old. Like, there's no keeping them apart. And all they fucking do is steal each other's water bottles. It's just like endless. So anyway, I'm just holding my breath for Augie to get sick too, but poor Sebastian. As of right now, he's kind of on an up day, but it's been up and down. Like, I'm not holding my breath. I will say one thing we did find, which really helped, was something called Feverol. Have you ever used Feverol?
No.
They are acetaminophen or Tylenol suppositories for kids under the age of 3.
Oh, smart.
And, you know, no pun, that totally saved our ass. Because, you know, he did have a fever. He was like, he had like, I don't know, my forehead thermometer thing is super inaccurate, but it was reading like 101, 102. Like, he had like a legit fever and he was miserable, and we couldn't give him any oral medicines because they just came right back up. So the suppositories really, really helped. Like, that was the main thing that helped him feel better. So if anyone's in the same situation, I highly recommend them. Also, I think there's still like a Tylenol shortage, or people are just buying it out on the shelves. Like, children's Tylenol is super hard to find, but that was like in stock, no problem. So,
oh, good.
Hot tip. So, yeah. So him being sick really sucked. And it also kind of screwed up some of our festive plans that we had, which was, we had promised Augie that on Friday we were going to drive up to the mountains and take him to see snow.
Oh, fun. But yeah, sick baby, that's not going to work.
Yeah, we're not going on any winding mountain roads with that baby in that picture. He's so sad and tired. However, Augie has been like anxiously anticipating this trip to the snow for weeks. Have I shown you any pictures of him with his snow gear?
No, he has snow gear.
Oh my God. Okay, so Corey, it was like, let's go to the snow with the kids when they're off school for, you know, before Christmas. And I was like, oh, okay, great idea. And then he was like, okay, let's do it. And then I realized that it was on me to like spend the next few weeks sourcing snow gear for the kids, because like, it's not like we have stuff for them. So I frantically searched, you know, Buy Nothing and my mom's groups and stuff, getting all this snow gear for them. And it kept arriving at the house. Like, I'd pick up a snow bib or I'd pick up some new snow boots from Target. And as it arrived, Augie was just like so excited about all of it. Like, all he wanted to do was wear it, to the point where he was literally wearing his snow gear to school on like 65 degree days. I'm going to send you a picture. So I sent you a picture.
Oh my gosh, he is decked out head to toe. He looks like he belongs in Minnesota. This big puffy jacket with this big hood and thick mittens. Oh, he's ready for the snow.
He's ready. So Corey and I on Thursday are looking at each other with this like sick baby who like will not even wake up in my arms. I mean, he wasn't on death's doorstep, but you know what I mean? Like, he's so tired. He's so sick. And I'm like, I can't take this baby to the snow. And Corey's like, are you going to tell Augie? Like, what are we going to do? And that's when I was like, you guys need to go. Like, I know I want to be there for Augie's first real snow, but like, I can't tell him you're not going. I'm like, you and Augie go together tomorrow. You have a daddy Sunday and I'll just stay home with sick baby. And so that's what they did. So despite me not being there, it looked like they had a wonderful day. They went up to Mountain High, which is a ski area near us I've never been to. And they have like a snow play area for kids and like a sledding area. And Corey was sending me pictures throughout the day. And the kid was so freaking happy. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, how fun.
Oh, and they got to take a ski lift.
Oh, fun.
So they had a really wonderful day, and I'm really glad for that. I was sad to miss it, but I was just more happy that at least Augie got to do it and he got to go be in the snow and experience it for real. Okay, I sent you some pictures that Corey had sent to me while I was at home with the sick baby.
All right, let's see. Oh, boy. He's posing with some kind of no Yeti with a big candy cane. That's very exciting. Oh, he looks so happy just tromping through this snow. Ooh, and a big sled. That's very cool, like an inner tube sled.
Okay, I just sent you a video of him going down this inner tube run.
All right, let's see. Oh my gosh. First of all, that looks fun as hell. I want to be in that position. Second, I'm impressed that he's alone in there, like doing that by himself without Corey. Very, very impressive.
Yeah, I mean, he's a thrill seeker, so it doesn't surprise me. I saw the video and I was like, is this a safe choice? So yeah, I mean, I'm bummed that I missed it, but they had so much fun. And I'm sure Augie really enjoyed having that one-on-one time with his dad. So
yeah,
there's silver linings there, and I'm just hoping Sebastian is feeling better by Christmas.
Me too. Sending him all the healthy, healing vibes.
Thanks. But anyway, I think it might be time to move on to our special segment. What do you think?
Oh, yes, indeed. Laura, we recently had our moms on the show, and it was so fun hearing their stories from the past.
I loved hearing what they had to share about their experiences being pregnant and having young kids. But you know, they have so many more amazing memories and stories to share.
Yes, and that's why StoryWorth is such a wonderful gift for the mother figure in your life. It's a way to capture those stories and memories for years to come.
And what better time to give StoryWorth than for Mother's Day, which is right around the corner. Right now, our listeners can save $10 off your first purchase by going to StoryWorth.com/BFP.
Here's how it works. Each week, StoryWorth emails your loved one a thought-provoking question that you get to help pick, such as, what is your favorite memory of your parents?
All your loved one needs to do is respond to that email with a story. Long or short, it doesn't matter.
You'll be emailed a copy of your loved one's response as they're submitted over the course of the year. You'll get to enjoy their retelling of the stories you already know or be surprised by stories you've never heard before.
After that year of fun, StoryWorth compiles your loved one's stories and photos into a beautiful keepsake hardcover book that you'll be able to share and revisit for generations to come.
I gifted StoryWorth to my mom a couple years ago, and her hardcover book is a special memento on my bookshelf that my girls and I love to look through.
My mom did one too and included lots of pictures from her childhood, which Sebastian and Augie love looking at.
Give all the moms in your life a unique, heartfelt gift you'll all cherish for years. StoryWorth. Right now, save $10 on your first purchase when you go to StoryWorth.com/BFP.
That's StoryWorth.com/BFP to save $10 on your first purchase. There's nothing like the feeling of being confident in your own skin. No complicated routine, no multiple step protocols, just simple, scientifically validated solutions.
Absolutely. That's why we have to tell you about today's sponsor, OneSkin. Their products make it easy to keep your skin healthy while looking and feeling your best.
The secret to OneSkin's success is their proprietary OS1 peptide, which switches off the aging cells and has been clinically proven to strengthen the skin barrier and improve skin health markers.
For a limited time, our listeners will get an exclusive 15% off OneSkin products using the code BFP when you check out at oneskin.co.
One of my favorite things about OneSkin products is how easy they are to use. I swear, I've seen skin routines with like 20 steps, but not OneSkin. Just cleanse, pat your skin dry, and apply twice daily.
We aren't the only ones who love OneSkin. OneSkin has over 4,000 five-star reviews, and were recognized by Fast Company as one of the most innovative brands in 2024.
OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer.
My skin tends to get really irritated this time of year, but since using the OneSkin face supplement every day, my skin feels calm and healthy. I've also been using the eye topical supplement, which I really feel brightens up my face.
Get started today with 15% off using code BFP at oneskin.co.
That's 15% off oneskin.co with code BFP. After your purchase, they'll ask where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you.
Okay, I will be the first to admit that I don't always prioritize my own wellness. With kids and work, it never feels easy to fit in taking care of myself. But with Allo Moves, I find it easier than ever to do so.
Same. With the Allo Moves app, everything I need is in one place. Yoga, Pilates, fitness classes, mindfulness, and so much more.
If you're curious what Allo Moves has to offer, visit allomoves.com and use code BFP for an exclusive 30-day free trial and 20% off an annual membership.
I love that I can easily find a class that's perfectly suited to my interests and ability level. They offer classes from beginner to advanced, and all classes are on demand, so you can fit them into your busy schedule.
They have high-intensity classes if you're looking to get in a good sweat, and low-key mindfulness classes if you're looking to get centered. They even offer help with sleep, which we all know is crucial for moms.
Ever since I watched The Art of Sleep on Allo Moves, I've been falling asleep faster and staying asleep longer.
One thing I really like about Allo Moves is that they create themed playlists, so it's easy to find content on the areas you're interested in. One of my favorite playlists right now is called Meditation for Productivity.
Ooh, I love the sound of that one. Unlock your personal wellness routine with Allo Moves. Go to allomoves.com now and use code BFP for an exclusive 30-day free trial and enjoy 20% off an annual membership.
That's allomoves.com, code BFP. allomoves.com, code BFP.
We're back, and this week's special segment is Internet Insanity, where we report on the interesting, fascinating, hilarious things we've found online recently regarding parenting. Laura, you are up first, and I'm so curious to know what your first Internet Insanity is.
Okay, so my first one is something I found on TikTok. Surprise, surprise.
I have to say, TikTok has done wonders for our Internet Insanity segment.
Truly.
Right?
Where would we be? Where would this segment be without the glory of TikTok? We'd have to be talking about Facebook? I mean, ew.
Come on.
I'm actually joking. I love our Facebook group. But yes, no, TikTok is great. So I'm going to send you this video so you can see it, and then we'll talk about it.
All right. Well, this is interesting. Okay, Laura, tell our listeners about this and then let's discuss.
So this TikTok was from a creator, passionland.co, and it was about a study that was conducted in the late 60s by George Land and Beth Jarman about creative genius and age. So like whether young children are more creative than older children, basically. Mm-hmm. So the study used supposedly the same test that was given to like NASA engineers to determine their level of creative genius. And they found that out of five-year-olds, 98% of them tested as creative geniuses.
Oh my gosh. This is why I'm afraid of kindergartners. They're brilliant.
And then they say by age 10, it goes down to 30%. Mm-hmm. And they repeated it and found that by the time we're adults, only 2% of us qualify as quote unquote creative geniuses.
Oh my gosh.
But Shauna, this is an Internet Insanity segment. This is not a Today I Learned segment.
True, true.
So in that light, I'm here to tell you, it's all lies.
Wait, what? This TikTok, this stuff, what are you talking about?
All of it, Shauna. This study apparently never happened, okay? So what? I saw this and I was like, this seems like too good, right? Like this seems too clear. And also like 1968 is a long time ago to be doing these kind of tests. Like, I don't know. My spidey sense of like, this is bullshit was, I guess you'd call it like my bullshit meter. It was tingling, right?
Good. You've got a good bullshit meter too.
Well, you know what? I'm starting to like realize that a lot of the claims that are made in these little summary videos and stuff aren't always like verifiable, right? And you know why I think I'm starting to realize that is not just because it's sort of like it's starting to be in the zeitgeist a little bit. I feel like there's that new podcast, This Book Will Kill You.
I love it. It's so good. Yeah. So good.
And like that's all they do basically is they're like, this is all bullshit, right? And I had just been listening to that podcast and I was like, this smacks of, you know, something you read in an airport book and you think like, oh, amazing. And then it turns out there's nothing behind it, right? So I started digging.
Yes.
And yeah, it's repeated all over the place, including a TEDx talk, right? And I think people have really latched onto it because it sounds like such a cool idea, right? Like you hear it and you're like, oh, that kind of makes sense, right? Like my kids are so creative and so interesting. And as adults, you feel like you've lost it, right? Like you've lost something. And so that reinforces it. But this author, Emil Kierkegaard, did this deep dive into it because his bullshit spidey sense was also tingling. Mm-hmm. And it turns out that he could not find anywhere anything to support this claim. Okay, so this kindred spirit, Emil, did a lot of digging through like scholarly research and databases, and he could not find any evidence that the study even happened in the first place. And he found additional studies that actually did happen, including a meta-analysis of a bunch of other studies that measured what they call divergent thinking, DT, which is basically creative thinking, in people of different ages. That totally contradicts this thing. It says that it actually increases as kids get older. Like it was a steady upward trend through grades.
Interesting.
Yeah, steady upward trend through grades 1 through 12. And he said the meta-analysis of adults found that creativity generally tops in early mid-adulthood, which is expected based on like what we know about brain development.
Okay.
So not only could he not find any source for this supposed NASA study that they did, but he also found conflicting information that actually is in line with like what we know about the brain. And so his conclusion is children are not creativity geniuses. The available evidence shows that creative thinking tests show the usual age pattern seen with other cognitive tests. George Land's claim is totally contrary to other research, and there is no evidence it exists. It is likely that George Land made it up.
Why do people spread misinformation and about something so benign like creativity and kids? What is the motivation there?
I mean, he probably just needed like a paragraph for his book, you know?
Yeah.
Because that's one thing he did find was like a mention of George Land in some book. And it's like he probably just needed some kind of quote. And with the confidence of a mediocre white guy was just like, sure. Yeah. 98% of 5-year-olds are creative geniuses, you know, like, oh, I can just say that no one will care. It's 1968. No one will have any way to verify this.
Right. Right. But now we've got the internet and now we have ways of much more easily checking things.
But that TikTok I sent you has 301,000 views, Shauna.
Of course it does. Did you come in hot in the comment section being like, nuh-uh, this is not right?
Ugh, I really wanted to. Like, I'm such that person, right? I want to be like, but actually, which is such a, it's a bad impulse of mine. But like, someone should be like, hey, this is a lie.
Yes.
But it's so much harder to find the this is a lie information than to find like 100 sources also citing this total bullshit. So
yeah, I'm sure she's not the only person making a video about this.
No, because we just trust. You saw it in a TED Talk. You think that it's fact checked. It's not. Mm-hmm. The other thing I learned about from that This Book Will Kill You series is that nonfiction books don't get fact checked.
It's wild.
So I write articles occasionally, and sometimes they're for like bigger magazines. Like the biggest one I've written for is probably O Magazine or Parents, right? Parents Magazine. But O Magazine, for example, that's, I think at the time when I was writing for it, it was the most popular women's magazine in the US. Huge distribution, right? Huge readership. Mm-hmm. And as such, they have a whole fact checking department. So when I would write something for them, my sources were getting calls to fact check like the quotes, right?
Wow.
Like I had to submit my transcripts of every interview I did. I had to submit contact information for everyone I talked to. It might be a little different if I was like scooping some kind of like top secret story, you know, and trying to keep my sources private. But, you know, I'm writing flow charts about diaper rash. You know, it's not top secret. But like every single thing was fact checked. And the fact checkers would come back to me sometimes with like minuscule things just to double check. So like I assumed that book publishers were doing the exact same thing. They are not. They are not doing that. Like, you can basically publish whatever shit you want in a nonfiction book, as far as I can tell. And so, like, if something gets published in a book or put on a TEDx, like, unless you want to go and research every point that's made, like, people aren't doing that. People are regurgitating it for social media. I mean, we do the same thing, right? We have a Today I Learned segment. I try to do my due diligence when we do Today I Learned and, like, really fact check things.
Right.
But, you know, like if I tried to fact check this for Today I Learned and I didn't have the sense that it was fake, I don't know if I would have found this because I had to like search the authors, you know, George Land and Beth Jarman fake in order to get this. Right. If I was just searching their names, I would have gotten the like hundreds of other pieces written that cite this imaginary study as real. So,
oh, it's infuriating. And
yeah,
we're just fed these little tidbits on TikTok or wherever, you know, we watch them Instagram reels or whatever. And it's like, ooh, that's fascinating. Double tap the heart and then move on. And then that little nugget lives in my brain as reality. And then I look at my kids and I'm like, oh my God, they're so genius. And then I think about myself and I'm like, oh, I'm a loser with no creativity. And then it just kind of like, it's insidious. It gets into my life and my head and it's messed up.
Turns out you're more creative than your kids. Suck it, kids. Or maybe you were 10 years ago. I don't know.
I know. It's all downhill from here.
I tried to figure out what early mid-adulthood meant, and I couldn't quite figure that out.
Yeah, probably not my age.
Probably like 27. I felt pretty creative at 27.
Yeah, me too.
Anyway, that was my first internet insanity.
Whew, that was a good one.
Shauna, I want to hear your first internet insanity. What have you seen on those webs, the interwebs, the series of tubes?
I have discovered grandma showers.
What?
I know, that sounds so...
I'm inferring what it means now. Like, at first, I'm imagining, like, grandma's taking a shower, okay? Like, do your kids take a shower with grandma? Like, that could be okay. And so, I mean, in some families, whatever.
Yeah,
like,
whatever.
It could happen. But that doesn't seem like what you're talking... Oh, I'm like, oh, is this like a baby shower, but for the grandmas?
Yes, Laura, this is a new phenomenon happening.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. Okay.
Grandma showers are on the rise. I first came across this in an article from an online site called InTheKnow.com. And they were summarizing some Reddit drama. You know, Reddit's also good for the internet insanity. I love it. So this person who's pregnant goes to Reddit to complain that her mother-in-law had a baby shower for herself, for the grandmother. The mom of the actual child didn't know, wasn't invited, and found out about it when the grandma posted pictures of the shower online. She's like, there was a full buffet. There was a banner that read, "It's a boy. Let's celebrate, grandma." Pictures of the pregnant mom were like up at the shower.
Oh my God. Yeah, that there's the line that's really been crossed. I mean, yeah. Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. So she wasn't invited, but she was there, I guess, in spirit or in photo form. So this got me thinking. I'm like, is this a one-off? Or like just a odd, like, you know, mother-in-law quirk thing she just decided to do for herself.
Wait, can I ask a question first? Like, so was she getting presents that she was then going to pass on?
And she was receiving presents.
Like, that's what, but what's the point is to receive things that are useful for the baby. So, like, is it so that she can watch the baby when they're busy? Or, like,
I had the same questions, Laura. I needed to know what is the deal with grandma showers. So, I started going down the internet rabbit hole to figure this out. It is not a deep rabbit hole. I literally Googled grandma showers. And tons of articles come up, like how to host a grandma shower. So I go into some article about grandma showers and like tips for hosting one and everything. And yeah, the idea is that grandmas, grandma-to-be, are having these parties so that their friends can get them gifts for the baby that they can keep at their house so that the baby can use it when the kid comes over. And like some of the people in the article are quoted like, well, I just don't have anything. I have nothing for, you know, the grandbaby for when they come over. So, yes, there's definitely a gifts element involved as well as celebrating becoming a grandma. And of course, this comes with great controversy, right? Some people think it's sweet, like celebrating grandma coming into grandmotherhood. And, you know, I think that's sweet, too. Why not? If you're especially if you're like really close to your grandma and you actually invite the pregnant person along, I think maybe that could be a really special celebration.
I think at least, you know, giving the pregnant person a heads up this is happening is probably the first step to making it a sweet occasion and not like a weird one.
Yeah, exactly. People are also seeing it as one-upping the pregnant mom, right? Like taking over the spotlight. Like, oh, this is all about me instead of the actual mom. So there's that. Some people are criticizing it as a gift grab. So, you know, some people think it's sweet. Some people think it's atrocious. And I don't know. I think it all just depends on context, personally.
Yeah, I could see it both ways. I mean, I think, like you said, it depends on how it's handled. Like, I absolutely would have been supportive of my mom or my mother-in-law having a grandma shower if it was like, A, you told me it was happening, and B, like, you know, it was for stuff so that you could help take care of the kids. Like, anything that helps me offload my children on the grandparents is just welcome.
Truly, let that grandma get a pack and play for her house. Sure.
But I can see if you have somewhat of a more troubled relationship with your mom or your mother-in-law, this rubbing you the wrong way, for sure.
For sure. If you do want to throw a grandma shower, there are plenty of resources online. There are lots of images of grandma ribbons, apparently, is like a big thing. Like, that's the number one thing that comes up when I search in the images, like a best grandma ribbon. So I think maybe there's like some tradition blooming of like the grandma to be like gets past this like grandma ribbon and stuff. So if that's up your alley, there are tons of resources online for this new budding tradition.
You learn something new every day, you know?
Truly.
Never had heard about it until this very moment. Thank you, Shauna.
You are welcome. All right, your turn again. What's your next internet insanity?
Okay, so I didn't want to do two TikToks, but like, what else am I doing with my time is the real question, right? So I am sending you another TikTok I'd like you to watch.
Yes.
And I'm going to have you react to this. It's a little long, but I think you'll find it really funny.
All right, here we go.
All right, son. We gave Dada our house keys. We are locked out of the house. Okay. Thankfully, you can't see it. Mama didn't lock this window. So, get inside. All right, Holden. I need you to go inside and unlock the door. Got it?
Okay. Uh-oh. Oh, no. She's sending this two-year-old inside to unlock the door. Uh-oh. This is going to go well.
Yeah, this kid is like, I don't know, 2.5 maybe?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Okay, grab a chair. Grab a chair. Take it to the door.
Oh, my God. She wants him to take the chair to the door to unlock it. He just stands on the chair at the table.
I need you to focus. Focus.
Oh, he's moving the chair.
Grab the chair. Okay, take it to the door.
Oh, he's getting close. Oh, distracted. Oh, he's a fuzz. Oh, a rock.
In the chair and push it.
Oh my God. I love this. Come on, buddy. Save the day. Nope. Now he's sitting on the chair.
You got a rock. Okay. Well, I thank you.
Oh my God. Now he's distracted by a toy or a stick. I think he's not listening.
fireplace tools.
Oh, it could be. Oh, yeah. He's playing with a fireplace poker or something and totally not listening to his mother.
Oh, my God. I can't believe she's trying to coach a 2-year-old to do this. And like, she's outside in the snow. Like, she is freezing her ass off.
Hold in. I'm serious. I can't get inside the house. I can't get through the window. I need you to get the chair.
He's sticking his face in this fireplace tool holder. Oh, my God. I love 2-year-olds.
The way he looks at her, too, you know, he's like, he wants to help, you know?
He does. But
his brain is just not letting him.
He's getting the chair closer. Oh, the rug is in the way. Oh, he's moving the rug out of the way. That's smart.
Yeah, I'm very impressed with this kid's
he got the chair abilities. To the door. He's standing on the chair. Come on, buddy.
Did you get it?
Come on, buddy. You got this. He's touching the lock. Oh my
God. You're amazing.
He got it. Oh, my God. He got it. Buddy. Yay. Oh, he's so cute.
He's so cute. I mean, that's a pickle, right? You're outside in the snow. I could see you calling dad and be like, come back. You have our keys. But she's like, let's make an adventure out of this. I'm just going to shove my 2.5-year-old in through the window and hope for the best.
Well, Laura, according to that study, young kids are geniuses. So clearly he's like smart enough to do that, right?
Yeah, totally. Just takes a little bit of distraction. I love the comments, too. Someone, the top comment is, bro had to complete some side quests before completing the mission.
My favorite was when he took like the fireplace tool holder and just like put it up to his face and like was
like a trumpet or something.
Bottom of it. And then he found a rock and had to show it to mommy. And oh, that's amazing.
Yeah, I mean, I love it. I'm so glad she had the forethought to record it. The cynical part of me is like, could she have not, like, was she doing this just for the views? Because like, I'm like, could she not squeeze through that window? But I don't think so. I think she just legitimately couldn't get in. And she knew to get it on camera. I mean, I just don't know what plan B was going to be if he ran off, you know?
Oh, true. Yeah. Like, what if he just disappeared upstairs or something?
Yeah, I guess you could break the window and run in.
But, yeah, true.
She knew her son. She knew he'd get there eventually. And he did. It was
very cute. He's so cute.
We'll have to share the link in our show notes so everyone can see the adorableness. But this is from a user, if you want to go find it. In the meantime, Jessica, G-E-S-I-K, and then 6 A's after that. A-A-A-A-A.
Okay, great.
All righty. So, yeah, that was my final internet insanity, Shauna.
Amazing.
Do you have one more for us?
I do, but why don't we wait until after the break?
Okay.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Shauna, think of all the relationships you have in your life. From parents, siblings, your friends, kids, coworkers, even neighbors, there's a lot of human interaction, which we know doesn't always go perfectly.
Oh, you know I don't have a perfect relationship with my next door neighbor, and I can't change her, but I can work on my own reactions to her and how she treats my family.
Absolutely. Strengthening your own coping skills and setting healthy boundaries in any relationship are important, and therapy can be a great place to work on these types of things.
Not only that, therapy can help you handle stress, deal with burnout, and empower you to be the best version of yourself. Not only that, therapy can help you handle stress, deal with burnout, and empower you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma, although, of course, it is helpful in those situations, too.
I've noticed that doing weekly therapy helps me handle the things that cause overwhelm in my life, like constantly balancing kids, work, and self-care.
I love that therapy helps me have insights about myself that I might not have otherwise. It's always great to get an objective take on what I'm going through.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Become your own soulmate, whether you're looking for one or not. Visit BetterHelp.com/BFP today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/BFP. Hey, listeners. This episode is proudly brought to you by L'Olivie, an award-winning hair care line founded by the fabulous Jennifer Aniston. You know, hair so iconic, it needs no introduction.
Okay, imagine this. Jen got tired of the same old struggle we all face, choosing between hair products that work and ones that are actually good for us. With L'Olivie, that dilemma is history.
We all put our hair through the ringer. Coloring, heat styling, stress, the list goes on. Over time, it takes a toll. That's why it's crucial to have products that not only repair the look of the damage, but also shield your locks from future harm.
Enter L'Olivie's bestsellers, the cult classic Glossing Detangler and Perfecting Leave-In Conditioner. These aren't just styling products, they're your hair's new best friends.
And here's a treat for you listeners. For a limited time, you get an exclusive 15% off your entire order at L'Olivie.com. Just use code BFP at checkout. I have been using the Glossing Detangler and Leave-In Conditioner, and I love them. I love how soft and healthy my hair feels after using them.
I love their restorative shampoo and conditioner plus intensive repair treatment. They smell so good, make my shower feel like a spa, and never leave my hair looking or feeling dry.
L'Olivie's products are naturally derived in plant-based goodness. No silicone, sulfates, parabens, or gluten, and of course, cruelty-free and vegan.
Unlock Jennifer Aniston-approved hair at L'Olivie.com. As our loyal listeners, you'll get an exclusive 15% off your entire order when you use code BFP at checkout.
That's 15% off your order at L-O-L-A-V-I-E.com with promo code BFP. Please note, you can only use one promo code per order and discounts can't be combined.
After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them that we sent you. Okay, we are back. And Shauna, do you have one more internet insanity for us?
I do. Believe it or not, Laura,
yes.
This one is also grandma related.
Wow, grandmas are having a moment on Big Fat Positive this week.
Yeah. So I came across this in an article from Scary Mommy, which is always a delightful read, but it actually also references a TikTok. So there's that as well. I love this so much. This guy, he's probably in his 30s. He does a TikTok explaining how at his grandma's house, she has a ranking board hanging on her wall with magnets of the faces of all 10 of her grandkids, and she ranks them from 1 to 10. Every day, she mixes them up depending on a lot of different factors, and she just keeps a running tally of how much she loves her grandkids.
Okay. This doesn't seem aligned with wry parenting to me.
I think there's like a funniness to it. Like all her grandkids are adults, first of all.
Okay, well, so that makes a difference. Yeah.
That makes a huge difference. They're all adults at this point.
It'd be pretty rude to say like the 3-year-old's in the 10th spot today.
I know, that would be so sad if they were kids. So the adults find it funny, right? So therefore, I find it funny too.
Okay. That is a detail. That is a detail I needed to feel less weird about this. Okay, go on.
Yeah. There's definitely like a humor about it. And like in this video, the guy's like, okay, so here's my grandma's grandkid ranking board. He's like, I am currently number 4. He's like, that's like the highest I've ever been. But I just got some new tattoos. And he like pulls his sleeve up and he shows like some new ink. He's like, that is not going to go over well with grandma. And grandma comes in and she's like, what's that? And he's like, these are my new tattoos. And she like instantly pulls his face off number 4 and puts it down to number 10. He's like, damn it. So he went like down to the bottom. But I wanted more info about this grandma and what this was all about. So I found some more articles and an interview with her. She's really cute. She's got 10 grandkids. And apparently the number 1 and 2 spot are consistently held by like the top 2 grandkids. And so the interviewer is like, why is the number 1 person in the number 1 spot? And she's like, well, she lives across the street from me. She comes over a lot and she helps out a lot. And the number 2 grandkid is a vet and I love animals. And then they're like, well, who like consistently ranks lowest? And she's like, oh, Ariana. And they're like, why? What does Ariana do? She's like, she doesn't call me enough. She doesn't visit me enough. She works a lot. She's very busy. So it's really like to keep the grandkids in check on like talking to grandma, basically, and paying attention to her. So it's so cute. And then the interviewer's like, well, what would cause a grandkid to like rise up to the top quickly? She's like, oh, if they get married recently, right to the top. If they have a new baby, they go right to the top. And she's just got this whole system worked out. It cracks me up so much. And, you know, the grandson that like did the video, he's so good natured about it and stuff. And they all think it's funny. But I was just like, oh, man, this ranking system is too much.
That's really funny. I feel like it only works in bigger families, because if you have three kids and you're ranking them consistently, like that's a recipe for having a real complex. But if there's 10 yes. of them, it's like, OK, look, there's yes. too much competition.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And I think they all feel proud when they have their moment in the spotlight, you know, when like there's a big event and they get to rise up to number one for a moment, you know, before the granddaughter who lives across the street moves back in. So it's a fun, funny little family thing.
That is really cute, actually. It started out as like, ew, toxic competition in families, and moved on to, oh, this is adorable.
Yeah, yeah, totally. Okay, the TikTok is from a user named Dan Lamorte, L-A-M-O-R-T-E. We'll link to it. And here, I'll send you the video so you can just watch it really quick and see what I'm talking about with this little ranking board.
Okay, let's see. I love that it says family and like a cute script at the top. Like, oh, she has like square headshots of each kid. Kid, they're all adults, like you said.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, grandma. Grandma hates the tattoos. She's she is so upset. This is too cute. Oh, my goodness. I love her.
Yeah. Yeah, she's lovable.
Well, that's aspirational. If I ever have more than like six grandkids, I know what I'm doing with my time.
Exactly. A good way to spend your retirement.
Yeah. Except for I should have had kids younger, because like I don't know if I'm going to be alive for my adult grandchildren to be around.
Oh, God.
Probably should have had kids earlier than 36 and 38 to do that, but we'll see.
Well, you can be 100 years old running your little ranking board, Laura.
Fair enough. Fair enough. All right. Well, that was a fun segment.
It was.
But I do think it's time to move on to our BFPs and BFNs.
All right.
Okay, so we close every show with a big fat positive or a big fat negative from the week. Shauna, tell us what you got.
I have a BFN. I think it's an N. Maybe it's a, like a BFH, like a BF,
Okay.
I'm not
Thanks
sure.
Thanks for making a hmm. Okay.
Yeah. I had this realization recently that I've kind of been thinking about.
Okay.
And when I first became a parent, I soaked up parenting books, right? Like I loved mm-hmm. the Janet Lansbury books. I've read things like How to Talk So Your Kids Will Listen. Those books, I just read so many books and I gained so much knowledge on parenting. And whenever I would come across like a stumbling block in my parenting, I would go back to one of my books or I'd buy a new book and read it. And I realized recently that I stopped doing that. I don't know, maybe a year or two ago. And I feel like I'm fatigued by learning about parenting techniques and skills. And I'm curious why. Like, clearly, I still have obstacles and problems. Like, I swear for 2 years, I've been like, ooh, I'm going to read that book on siblings, or ooh, I'm going to, you know, learn about siblings from that Dr. Becky course I bought 2 years ago. And I just don't do it. Fatigue is like the word that comes to mind. Like I'm fatigued mm-hmm. about diving deep into this stuff. And I'm curious why, right? I'm like, okay, so maybe I feel like I've topped out my mental load of being the person responsible for learning about all of this stuff all mm-hmm. these years. And I'm just like over it. Or is it that parenting advice has kind of turned into this social media like nuggetized parenting mm-hmm. thing? You know what I mean? Like I follow a lot yeah. of parenting teachers and stuff on Instagram and TikTok and all that. And like, so I get like these little bite-sized pieces of parenting advice and it's always coming at me. And so maybe that's why I feel fatigued by it. But then I'm like, am I really learning enough from those little nuggets? I don't know. I feel conflicted about all of this. And I don't know. I just wanted to ask you if you feel a similar fatigue about, you know, learning about parenting techniques and stuff.
Yeah, I would say another factor might be the fact that we have a weekly podcast where we talk about parenting that takes up a lot of our time and
yeah,
mental
true.
Space.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because I kind of feel similarly. So I have this book called Parent Effectiveness Training, I think mm-hmm. is what the title is. And I've read the intro and that's it. And like, I need to read it because it's come highly recommended. And it's the same thing. I just like, every time I try to read it, I'm like, I just want to think about something other than parenting. You know, when I have mm-hmm. time to sit and read a book, I want to think about something else. You know, I want to like go into a different world or learn something completely unrelated because so much of my time is absorbed by parenting that mm-hmm. it's like, is it going to creep into this time too? You know?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I've definitely like looked at my Kindle library and been like, ooh, I should read The Whole Brain Child. That would be really good for me. And then I'm like, ooh, but that other book looks a lot more interesting. And I just don't do it. I just don't crack them open anymore.
I do think there's also the thing, which you're ahead of me on this, which is like once you've had a kid for sort of enough years, you don't feel like a rookie anymore. You know what I mean? And when you have a new baby, you're like so fucking out to sea with it. You know, you're just mm-hmm. like, they gave me this baby and I'm supposed to know what to do with it. But like right. when they can talk back to you and like tell you what's on their mind, it becomes less mysterious, you know? And that's not to say there's not more to learn, but it's like, it's not like staring at this baby that's just crying at you and you have no idea why and you need mm-hmm. help, you know?
Right.
Common sense starts to take over in a little bit. But I'm with you. I want to keep reading more because I feel like, you know, a lot of the wry parenting stuff is really good for like young kids, but both your kids and Augie are kind of aging out of pure wry.
Yes.
And so you need different techniques. And, you know, like you said, I've picked up snippets from Dr. Becky and all these parenting resources online, but I need sort of a more coherent, mm-hmm. straightforward guidebook. So yeah, I think I'm with you on this. And maybe this is a good reminder to just suck it up and set some time aside.
Yeah. Because I definitely feel like there are some things I could learn and some new perspectives and techniques I could bring into my parenting. Just not today. that's my BF for the week. Just something that's been on my mind. What about you? What do you have for us this week?
I have a BFP, technically,
ooh, okay.
but I think it's going to gross you out. Which are disposable emesis bags.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Not my favorite topic, but I can see how that would be useful. Go on.
So I did not know these existed like outside of the hospital, basically, mm-hmm. until I saw a TikTok from Casey Davis, the struggle care / domestic blisters creator who wrote the book How to Keep House While Drowning. And she's just awesome. Just randomly on her TikTok a few months ago, I saw that she says that she has created little bins that are like illness survival bins. I can't remember if that's exactly what she called it, but basically they're little like Tupperwares that contain within them all the stuff you need for different types of illnesses. So she had like a, you know, flu bin, which has like Kleenex and Tylenol and the thermometer and all the stuff you need for that. And then mm-hmm. she had a stomach bug kit. And in the kit, it was, you know, Tylenol. And if I was doing it, I'd probably put those suppositories in. And then she had these disposable emesis bags. And I was like, that is smart. Because whenever anyone in the household is, you know, throwing up, I have to like scramble to find something to put under their mouth, right? Like I have to like find a, I think I used like the Easter bucket once, you know, because like, I know, so gross, right? But it was there and it was plastic and it could contain it. And so when I saw these, I was like, oh, that's genius just to have on hand. And so I went and impulse bought them. And I remember when they arrived from Amazon, Corey was like, what are these? I'm like, 25 Emesis bags, just in case we ever need them. Hopefully we don't. And he's like, okay, whatever. And this week they came in so handy because not only are they like disposable and clean and all that stuff, but they like pack down into like a flat little disc so you can put them in your pocket. So I just had one in my pocket at all times this week so I could like whip it out and put it underneath his little chin in case he started like looking like he was going to throw up, which was often. The only downside is that he figured out what they were like for after the first couple times. Right. And so I was paranoid and not wanting to like clean up the house anymore. So anytime he'd start looking a little green, I'd, of course, whip it out. And little Sebastian, he'd see and he'd go, no. No, and push it away. No, no, because and we had to tell him, like, it doesn't make you throw up, baby. It's just there in case you do. But he kept being like, no, like you didn't like it. But
he associated it with being sick.
Yeah, but we just had one, like, we had one stashed in every little corner of the house and one in my pocket at all times. And I cannot tell you how much cleaning that saved me during the stomach bug. So highly recommend them. They are super cheap if you buy them in bulk. Online and
smart.
Save the day.
I definitely need to do that and get some of those because with me and my phobia, whatever I can do to make it all like cleaner and quicker, the better. So doing that today.
Yes. And they're like blue. The ones I have are like blue and semi-opaque. So it's not like you're even looking at it really. You just like twist it up and get rid of it.
Beautiful.
So, beautiful. Just what you need. So yeah, I mean, technically mine was a BFP. It may not sound like it, but it was.
Yes, yes, I can see where you're coming from with that for sure. But I do think that wraps up our episode. However, I have a 5-star review to read.
Woo woo! Okay, let's hear it.
This review is from Low Hops on Apple Podcasts. The title of the review is A Long Overdue Review. 5 stars. I feel so blessed to have found this podcast in 2020 before I even started my TTC journey. Now I've listened to every single episode and have a 9-month-old daughter. Shauna and Laura feel like friends at this point. They provide laughs, advice, and stories of pregnancy and parenthood that have helped keep me grounded and sane throughout the last few years. An absolute must listen for anyone who wants to add a little joy and levity in the midst of the chaos of parenting. I never want this show to end. Oh, thank you so much.
Aw, that's such a great review.
That was such a wonderful review. And listeners, take it from Low Hops. It's never too late to leave a review. Even if you've been listening for 3 years, 4 years, how long have we been doing this show, Laura?
200 years, I think, at this point. Yeah.
It's never too late to leave us a 5-star review if you love the show. So please do us a favor. Head over to Apple Podcasts. Leave us a 5-star review. Tell other prospective listeners what you love about the show. It really helps new listeners take a chance on Big Fat Positive and helps grow our audience and community. And we appreciate it so much. As an added bonus, you might hear your review read on our show. Also, listeners, do you have any internet insanities you've come across recently that you want to share with us? We want to hear them. Laura, where can everyone reach us?
We're on Instagram, Facebook, and our favorite TikTok at BFP Podcast. We have a website, BigFatPositivePodcast.com. If you want to send us an email, you can always throw a voice memo into that email. We love those. Just send it to contact@BigFatPositivePodcast.com. And if you want to join the coolest group of people on the internet, search Facebook for Big Fat Positive Community. It's a private group, so you need to request to join and answer the 2 membership questions so we know you're not a robot. And once we verify your humanity, you will be sent straight through to the amazing, wonderful, brilliant conversations we're having in there.
Our show is produced by Laura Bierick, Shauna Maiko, and Steve Yeager. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. Have a big, fat, positive week. Bye.
Bye.